Are you glad to be alive? I mean, you know, heaven's great, but it sure is glad to be alive when you're here. Isn't that right? Man, we're thankful for that, that God has given us this life and what he has done for us. As they, all the children are dismissed at this time, I know that's, I'm excited about when I come in here on Wednesday night and I see the Awana groups running around. They are running all over the place. And I said something about, yeah, we'll release the hounds about that time to some of the junior church workers. And they said, it's not hounds, it's more like cats. But I do appreciate all of them and all that work with our kids. I was thinking the other day, if you only give 3 hours a week instructional time, and I don't think we get that. If a kid comes to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Awana, and you know, all the functions we do, if we actually get 3 hours of instructional time in there, you teachers know what I'm talking about, and that's all they get about God, that's not very much. So I am very thankful for all of you that work with them and try to get that in there, even when you're not sure if they're listening or paying attention or not, because I know sometimes you don't know if they really are. Leviticus chapter 17 this morning. Back some time ago, began to pray about what I'd be speaking on this particular Sunday, and this has a series that we have dealt with in depth on Wednesday night, going through Leviticus. Because you kind of look at these Old Testament books, particularly Leviticus, and you wonder, what in the world would God have to say to me that's going to help me in my job on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever out of Leviticus? But we've seen as we begin doing that study, and you can go back and watch our YouTube channel and see some of those or some of those messages. There is so much that is actually relevant to today in those passages of Scripture. And you can unpack some of that as just a way of review for those that have not been in our Wednesday study. The book of Leviticus or book of the law, every single one of, not every single one, but many of the chapters will begin with this little phrase. And God spake. And so therefore it must have been important because God himself was giving these to Moses, the human penman, to write down. And so we find all of those in here. I want you to turn, particularly this morning, we're going to just take a couple of text verse instead of reading the entire section. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11. Word of God states this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Let's pray again, shall we? Father God, I just pray that you will allow me to only share what the people that are listening online or will be and those that are in the building this morning need. There are so many attributes and aspects of the blood of Christ. We don't need all those. We only need the ones that these people and myself need right here today. And God, I pray that's what you will do for us. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. All of these Old Testament books, particularly Leviticus and Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy, were painting a picture. And the first thing that I want you to notice about the life of the flesh is in the blood is the blood's picture. Now, it's not necessarily a pretty picture necessarily, is it? But you say, where did all this start? You realize the picture of the blood actually started all the way back in the Garden of Eden when man first fell, when man first sinned. The Bible says we have all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we understand that every one of us has missed the mark. We don't know. We are not good enough. There's nothing we can do. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We'll never be good enough. And so we needed a sacrifice. God in His infinite wisdom and grace established the law of sacrifice. I've mentioned many times to you, and I want to reiterate it today, there is not a human being alive, not one anywhere, that is not affected by the law of sacrifice. He said, what do you mean, Brother Tim? What are you talking about? Everything, every human has to have something else die for it to live. He said, I don't believe you. Well, how many of you are already thinking about lunch? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. Well, why don't you want to go to lunch? You know, Americans spend more of their disposable income on food than almost any other item. What is it when the state fair rolls around? How many different foods there are? I find it hard to believe there's 80 different foods there this year. There's only so many ways you can deep fry a Twinkie, you know? Nonetheless, I was there yesterday. I didn't see all that much new, but that's okay. When you eat this afternoon, every piece of food that you eat, something had to die for you to get it. He said, well, I'm vegetarian. Well, is that piece of lettuce still alive? It was, but it's not anymore. Once you eat it, it becomes a part of you and part of your nutritional system. It can be broccoli. It can be cauliflower. It can be Brussels sprouts. It can be spinach or maybe something good like lima beans or mashed potatoes or mac and cheese. All of that stuff was formed out of something. Even if it's a synthetic base, something had to die for you to continue living. And that is often what our world system, the satanic world system, struggles with, is they don't like that concept. Whether you like it, believe it or not, it is still true. And the law of sacrifice is seen in that. The blood's picture is in that. He says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say the life of the flesh is in the eyes? I mean, all of us have eyes, or a lot of us have eyes. You can see with them. Maybe he should have said the skin. I mean, your skin's alive. There's stuff there. There's that. There's the hair. There's many parts of your body. But you know, I have known many different people, as perhaps you have, that are maybe missing some of those parts. I remember I had a finger cut off one time, had to get it reattached. I know a guy, our song leader in Florida before he went to heaven, was in a wheelchair from birth. He only had one foot. He didn't have legs like many people do. And yet, he was okay. I knew a little girl one time who tragically had lost an arm in a drug violence thing down in Columbia, South America, and was adopted to an orphanage in Tampa, Florida. Sweetest little child. Never held a grudge, never was bitter, but they had taken her arm from her. And yet that child, I watched as she played sport. She had learned how to play volleyball with one arm and basketball, and she could survive with it. Unfortunately, many of our wounded warriors come back from wars of our nation or incidents that happen, and they may be missing body parts. And we have the amazing technology to do all these different, prosthetics. But they can live without that. But the blood's picture is different. The blood is not a pretty picture. Unless maybe it's Halloween or a haunted house. Most people don't go in before you were getting ready to church this morning and, you know, cut yourself and smear some blood all over your face and say, how's my makeup look? You know, people would say, you got a little something there. Doesn't look quite right. I mean, I've known people that are afraid of the sight of blood. Have you ever, we had a Marine security officer when I was in college, and I don't know how he made it through the Marines, because somebody got injured on campus and they called the ambulance for him, and as they were there working with him, we heard a noise, and there was our security chief laying on the ground. He passed out at the sight of the blood. And we were kind of chuckling about it later. But the reason the law of sacrifice is given is because that blood is necessary. And when you think about that sacrifice that had to be given, that blood there, what is it that sin can produce? You know, the only little, J. Vernon McGee, I think, said it best once. He said, the only little brat that sin can conceive is death. Sin, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth death. And that is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. And you know, I want you to think about this. In the Garden of Eden, when that didn't take God by surprise, but during that time frame, there was Adam and there was Eve and there was the serpent in whatever form he was. And that first sin happened. I kind of, in the back of my mind, I see that there were some other eyes that were looking. There was something, there was somebody off in the shadows, and I could see eyes that were looking at that, wondering, what is this picture about? When that first lamb was killed or animal was killed, and they had to go through the awful tragedy of seeing one of their beloved pets from the garden was killed for their clothing. There was somebody looking at that event. And they were looking around the corner at that. You know, there is a reason that for the picture that he was painting in the Old Testament, the blood's picture, if you take all of the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus, and you take every single one of them, they will all point to the cross or the way that we live the Christian life. And then you can make sense of them. Because then all of a sudden you realize, now we don't live in the day and age, obviously, where you had to bring lambs in here today and all of that. God said that he was sacrificed once and for all. And no longer does he require that, but he was painting a picture so that nobody could ever say, I didn't know. I didn't understand this. But God was painting the blood's picture. Do you know your blood is a very specialized body fluid. I'm sure you know that you have to have it. But it's made up of four parts. Of course, your white cells, your blood cells, your platelets, all that. But blood does something very special in your body. As you were sitting there, and obviously this morning, I don't think any of you are going, all right, heart, are you doing your job? Pump that blood, get it going all the way through my body. Get it working through, you know. But that blood is carrying something. You see, blood carries oxygen through your bloodstream. And of course, as you well know, most of you cannot live without oxygen. And so that blood is constantly running through. And as it runs through your veins, your body's going, ooh, yeah. Give me some more of that, the good stuff. And it's giving you oxygen so that your body can function. You know, when that oxygen meter drops, it just goes way down. My mother was obsessed with her oxygen level. She had some problems before she died breathing, and it was like constant, putting that little thing on her finger, you know, to measure how much was there and everything. And I asked her one time, well, what are you going to do if it's not? I mean, what are we really going to do about it, you know? There's not much we can do. Well, I don't know, and don't take me to that hospital. I'm like, well, then what do you want me to do? But that blood is carrying that oxygen through your body. But you know your blood does something else. Not only does that blood carry that through, but the medical staff can tell you that it also prevents infections. It protects you from infections. Of course, we had the pandemic where we had COVID, and now we have stuff running around that we don't even know what is, you know? But your bloodstream, they tell me, is made so that when some of that comes in, it's almost like your body has a watchdog within it. And your blood is pumping through, carrying all that good oxygen, and all of a sudden you get somewhere. Maybe you're uptown, you're at Walmart or Dollar General, or there's a Dollar General in every corner now, right? And maybe you're there and you touch something, or something gets near you and it gets into your system. And your blood, all of a sudden, it's like a giant dog, you know, watching, and it's like, hey, wait a minute. That's not supposed to be in here. That doesn't belong in your body. And so the blood begins to fight that infection. And it begins to try to fight it off. and it does its best to protect you. You know what else it does? It's an amazing thing. Blood is really amazing when you begin to look at it. Now, sin can only make a bloody mess, but God takes the blood and He makes something that's as pure as anything in the world. When that blood begins, say you get a cut, and you're bleeding from just maybe a finger scrape or something like that. Sometimes I come in and Wendy says, "What is that on your hand? I've got one here." And she said, "What did you do?" And I said, "I don't remember. I mean, I didn't remember cutting that. Anybody else do that, or is that just me? You don't? Okay. I don't remember." He said, "Well, go in there and get some peroxide, you know, clean it up, put a Band-Aid on it." But you know the amazing thing about your blood is when your blood starts to flow out of there and it hits the air out here, it starts to clot on its own. And it begins to stop the bleeding when you're injured. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit of God put something in here for us as a Christian. Do you realize when you become a child of God, you now have His blood flowing through your veins by a spiritual transfusion? All of a sudden, things come into your body, things are different now. And now you're no longer of your father, the devil, but now you belong to God. And all of a sudden, something comes across your spiritual body, and all of a sudden, the blood is flowing through you. It's giving you the air. You know, the word in there, logos, or the pneumatic, rather, for air. And it's flowing through your body. You have Him in your veins, and all of a sudden, something comes in your mind or in your spiritual being, and it says, "Wait a minute. This doesn't belong in a child of God." And that blood is protecting you from that. Sometimes, now I don't know about you, I've been in church many years, but sometimes it can be people in the church, sometimes it can be people out of the church. But is there absolutely anybody here that's maybe above two that would say, "I have never had another person hurt me in my entire life"? I didn't see many hands. Can I promise you, all of us are going to have hurt, aren't we? There are times when people let us down. It may be a family member. It may be somebody you don't know. If you feel like that you haven't been offended enough, just let me give you a good way to do it. Get out of 40 and drive in and out of Raleigh at about 5:30 every day. That'll take care of it. Somebody will hurt you eventually. But that blood is to protect you when you're injured. Now, is it any little wonder that He said the life of the flesh, the life of the Christian, is in the blood? Because sometimes there are people, and I've known people that got upset with people and stayed out of church for years. Had somebody one time tell me, they said, "Well, you know why I'm not in church?" And they told me about this story, and it was about something that a pastor did that they should not have done. And somebody else told them, they said, "Well, you go talk to them about it and get it straightened out." And they said, "I didn't want to do that. Instead, I quit going to church." And I hadn't been to church in 20 years. And my smart mouth said, "Boy, you taught them, didn't you?" You think about it. The only one he hurt was them. Himself. He didn't hurt that guy. He should have went and straightened it out. He should have told the brother he was wrong, you know, and taken care of it. But when you get hurt, that blood starts to try to heal. And when you have the blood of Jesus Christ running through your veins and something hurts you, you feel like you've been abused, you feel like you've been hurt, there's so much heartache in this world. That blood is circulating through. And the moment that starts, the Holy Spirit of God, with that blood of Jesus Christ running through you, says, "Wait a minute, we got to do a little healing duty over here. This person's injured. Let's heal them." Not only the blood's picture, but the blood's power. We know it sustains life. As I mentioned earlier, you could take all of those body parts away and you can live with them fairly effectively. But you know, you cannot hit a main artery or hit a main vein or some kind of being in your body that has that blood and let it start squirting out. Most of us would not go, "Ooh, well, that's new," and keep on watching television or something. No, you begin to go do something. When it's squirting out like that, you say, "What's going to happen? Or are you going to die?" I mean, at one point, when all of that blood flows out of your body, you are done for. I'm sure many of you may have been taught in history class. Remember George Washington? They believed in bloodletting. And so what they began to do is they would take the blood and they would, when you had a disease, you always wonder about medical stuff, right? Years ago, it was don't eat eggs. Now it's maybe you should eat eggs. I think maybe it's just eat what you want and die fat and happy, you know? But the truth is, we can't live without it. And George Washington, they were doing a procedure called bloodletting, where they would actually put something in their vein and drain out part of their blood, because they thought when there were certain sicknesses that it must be in the blood. Well, they might have been right about the sickness, but the treatment was definitely flawed. And so they begin to let more blood out of him. And they said, "Well, he's getting sicker, so let's let more blood out of him." And most historians feel like that he probably was bled to death. Can I tell you something this morning? Across our nation, there are churches, some of them very small, some of them very large. And they've said, "We don't know what's going on, but we're not growing, or we're not, there's no life here. There's no spirit here. There can be people there and not a good spirit, not a spirit of life." One of the things when people visit here is they say, "There's such a good spirit." And so they get things. They try to do different things. They try to have programs perhaps, or they try to, a number of different things that people will try. But you know what they're doing? They're bloodletting. And they're slowly draining out the blood. And there are churches that say, "We refuse to talk about that. We don't want to have, that's just such a disgusting thing. We don't like the law of sacrifice. We don't like the fact that Jesus died on a cross and he shed his blood for us. We don't like that. So we're going to talk about something different. We're going to, talk about all the positives in life. We don't want to ever mention those." And what happens is before long, the life goes out because the life is in the blood. And so, not only can it sustain life, but it can save life. I am so thankful that, however, any time when a person calls on him, you say, "What's a good day to be saved?" Today. He never promises tomorrow, but the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Draw nigh unto him while he's nigh unto you. And God is waiting for you. If you don't know him as Savior, he is waiting and willing and always ready to give you a blood transfusion. The blood's power is that it can save lives. It is absolutely amazing to think that that can happen. That a person can be bleeding and growing weaker and weaker and weaker, and yet they can come in and physically sit there and on that table take the blood from another person that's been donated and it flow through their veins, and all of a sudden they begin to live. Why don't you think about this? At the cross, Jesus was bleeding there from multiple points. We find that there were 7 different places that Jesus was bleeding from there. If you look in the sacrifices, if we were to go in depth here, there are 7 different things on the sacrifice offered here, talking about that, making reference to it. But his blood was flowing out. And as his blood was flowing out, I believe there was a crowd looking. There were people watching. Some thought he was just a good man. Some didn't understand, but all of them were watching. And I believe while they were watching, there was another crowd, kind of unseen, with eyes, just looking. Looking around the corner. Just looking. Trying to figure out what this was about. And those eyes were looking. Later on, as he rose up from the dead, I believe those eyes were still there looking. I believe through all the church history, those eyes were still watching to see, what is this about? I believe as Paul preached to the ones he preached to as he was in prison, and then as John began to write the book of Revelation and all the wonderful things that he saw therein, I believe there was a set of eyes that were looking. There were numbers of eyes that were just peering in and saying, what is this about? I want you to see not only that, but the blood's purpose. The blood's picture, the blood's power, but the blood's purpose. You know, I mentioned to you several of them already. Because without the blood, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That means without God's blood, you can try anything you want. And men and women and boys and girls do. They try so many things. Though the folks Wednesday night, as I'm about and shopping in different places, sometimes I see some of the, especially some of the younger clerks with some of the stuff they're dealing with today, and I just see confusion. They're so confused because they've been told this will help you, that will help you, this pill will help you, that pill will help you. And they try all the world has to offer, and it leaves them hopeless and destitute and lifeless. And many times there are people, as you see them, I believe they are walking around like walking dead men. Because they don't have the blood in them. You say, well, how can the blood of Jesus Christ get inside of my veins? You know, I do not understand how God created one perfect man called Jesus Christ. And His blood that was perfect could be shed for me and for you, and that it would translate into when we believe in Him as Savior, it would become like our blood. Understand that? No. No way. I don't. But I believe it because I know it works. And the blood of Jesus Christ can still save from any sin, no matter what it is, no matter what you've done. The purpose of the blood was not only to sustain life, to give life, but to save life.